right, good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Good morning, everybody. It's 18 degrees. Woohoo! It's a heat wave and snowing a little bit here in upstate New York. I just saw one of my friends posted a picture on Facebook, and of course stuff like this I don't go near with a 10-foot pole, but I had to laugh. It was a little mini snowman laying on a deck on its back with knives stuck in it. And it says, "Die, winter, die." That's how we all feel. It's like the freaking Groundhog Day meets The Shining. It's unbelievable. Literally, there's got to be at least 5 feet of snow in my front yard. I can't deal with this anymore. But it is sunny today, so hey, bonus. Where on earth do we start this morning? Holy crap, there is so much stuff going on. And I'm not really sure where to start. I'm just seeing so many threads that I could pull and start unraveling sweaters. But how about we take a look at... Actually, maybe we'll start here and then we'll weave our way back into the stuff that we've been talking about. There's a publication that I pulled some stories out of every once in a while, and I'm going to see here if I can find the headline. It is HomelandSecurityNewsWire.com. Not that I would sit around in my bunny slippers and read this publication. Though I might on a Saturday with a nice hot cup of coffee. But the other day I started scanning down through the headlines. And one of the things that I caught was this new story, this warning. And, you know, we've been talking about this forever. But here's the headline. DNA synthesis creates risk of resurrecting what deadly viruses? Yes. Da, 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 da. This is Homeland Security News. Scientists are warning that decades of public research on sequencing of virus DNA are now posing unforeseen threats. I mean, how stupid? What did they think was going to happen? Kind of like when they sequenced the bird flu and then not one, but two groups of scientists who messed with it and made it more virulent decided that they wanted to publish the results in one of the science journals. Yeah, bright idea number 3,222 says diseases which have been extinct for many years. And remember that 1918 flu bug that killed millions of people. Yeah, they worked on that too. Made that even more deadly. Diseases which have been extinct for many years may be resurrected by bioterrorists using mail-order DNA kits with openly published sequence data as their guide. Holy crap. So as we're chasing ISIS under rocks, we have bioterrorists. And remember, back about a year, year and a half ago, we had actually heard a clip about them discussing how easy it is to gene splice now, that you could order a couple centrifuges on eBay for $30 a piece and be doing gene splicing in your garage. Not that we would want to do that, but hey, any freak could, right? So they could be resurrected with mail order DNA kits with openly published sequence data as their guide. Among these, smallpox eradicated since 1980 could be reintroduced using the 1994 gene mapping, which was prepared in order to better understand why the disease was so deadly. You know, it's interesting, too, that at this point, the story comes out as they are trying to make us so afraid of pathogens now that apparently are all over the place and we just weren't aware of them before, or did they just appear there? Who knows? But it's all fear porn to make us want to bow to the biopharma medical complex because they know better and they can keep us safe. And now if terrorists, quote unquote, terrorists, whether it be manufactured ISIS that we armed and trained and set free, Or, hey, domestic loan terrorists. And we're going to read a story out of this website as well. Oh, the hunt is on for you domestic terrorists. You, their one designation, they speak badly of the government and some of the things the government is doing, you know, to make us be afraid of this stuff is more of the psyop, obviously, to get us to take whatever they give us, to not question because they know better. Scientists are warning that decades of public research on the sequencing of virus DNA are now posing unforeseen threats as synthesis technologies advance to the point where individuals without expert knowledge may be able to reconstruct long dormant viruses using readily available maps. Now, something else that this makes me think of is the fact that all this information is readily available out there. Maybe not on the public internet, but for $29.95, you can get yourself a publication that's available on one of the science journals. And maybe, just maybe, with this Internet Security Act coming down the pike here, and the FCC, they're pushing to have the FCC control the internet like a public utility where they can decide what goes on the internet and what doesn't. Maybe this could be one of the first steps to now being able to do what Japan and now Australia have done with the quote unquote secrecy acts, where it's a matter of national security and information can be hidden, erased, removed. You can be prosecuted. I believe it's like 10 years. If you are charged under the Secrecy Act in Japan because, you know, you exposed something that maybe they thought shouldn't have been exposed. And I'm not talking about dangerous pathogens. I'm talking about calling out bullshit on some of the slippery palms and butt slapping. All right, back to the story. As Dr. Gigi Quick Grovenal writes for the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Response to Terrorism, oh, with such a cute little acronym as START, diseases which have been extinct for many years may be resurrected by bioterrorists using mail order DNA kits, which were openly published. At the time, researchers could not have predicted that advances in DNA synthesis or writing could have such potentially dangerous future consequences. How could they not have predicted that? We've had rogue governments across the globe for generations who've had bioterror weapons of mass destruction. I mean, didn't we go in after Saddam Hussein because he was going to wipe us out with some sort of terror mass destruction program of chemical biological weapons? I mean, that was already 20, 30 years ago. If you wanted to just stick to short-term memory. And I mean, yesterday we went through 13 historical horrible freaking experiments they did on people with all this shit. So scientists never saw this coming by making all this information available. It's like they hung the dangling carrot out there to make the problem. So now they could go, oh no, look at, there's all these diseases, and the only way you're going to be safe is to be force vaccinated against all these horrible diseases. Or hey, maybe all these horrible diseases are now going to be let loose, and a whole bunch of people will die, and they'll go, hey, look at the terrorists just wiped out. What's the number? 70% of the population? You know, when watching these sci-fi shows, all of them lately about pathogens and dystopian futures, it really makes me go, huh? Because this is just crazy. I mean, I've called them out every time I saw those idiots publishing some new way to make some killer flu even more killer. I was like, are you people so stupid? And now here we go. Now we're like, oh no. What? Maybe we shouldn't have let them out into the loose. And now there's no, again, getting the genie back. None of these things. There's no getting the genie back. Actually, I have an interview too, a short one with Dr. Huber that I'd never heard before. But everything I'd been saying, you know how they were saying about the bees and how they thought they discovered the nicotinids, pesticides were killing the bees, and I still was calling bullshit because I thought it was Monsanto and whatever they were putting in glyphosate. Well, listen to this, but Dr. Huber takes that interview that we heard a few weeks ago talking about the glyphosate's ability to prevent the absorption of essential nutrients into the plants and the animals, and how it kills all the beneficial bacteria in the soil, and applies that to the bees and completely knocks down the nicotinid pesticide theory because nicotinids don't work that way on the bees. And he has ex complete evidence that that is the unavailability of available nutrients and the inability to process them, they have determined is what is killing these bees. So it is. It's glyphosate, people. Glyphosate is killing all of us. All right, but I'm getting off topic. Let's get back here. At the time, researchers could not have predicted that advances in DNA synthesis or writing would have such a potentially dangerous future consequence. Only now is this problem being examined closely by scientists and security experts who fear that as technological progress quickens, the potential to weaponize research may also grow. And if you remember, oh, it was probably 6 or so months ago, they had captured a quote-unquote ISIS stronghold, and they had found a laptop computer. Do you remember that? And on that laptop computer, they had found all kinds of attack documents, and one of those attack documents was on bioterror. So they were warning that ISIS may bioterror attack us. And now you're seeing all these rumblings about we're going to get attacked. ISIS is calling for attacks on malls. ISIS is calling for attacks. Guys, put on a seatbelt because they really, really are ramping something up here. And they're trying to make this a multi-pronged approach. And as you watch this chatter in the background, the scientific chatter, I think they're going to do something bad here. They really want to push. There are so many attack articles now against anti-vaxxers. And even in this Homeland Security Newswire article or publication, there was one of the stories about you can't even throw science at anti-vaxxers to make them believe. Well, you know, when we look at all the corruption that's been happening now in the FDA and them not retracting any studies that have been shown to be fraudulent and them allowing things to slide. And of course, we know about all the fast tracking. And every time we declare an emergency, they're allowed to fast track more. And you're going to see there was another story that came out yesterday. We're going to look at that next. Obama is now looking at merging the FDA, the USDA, all the different groups that were supposed to be responsible for food and drugs and environment and everything. He's going to put them all into one big fat agency now. So we'll have even more dysfunction than we had before. This isn't about keeping you safe. This is about making it easier to destroy us all. I mean, I just don't, I really can't even express how, I don't even know what the words are, how I feel about this. I literally want to stand on top of a mountain and just scream. All right, let's read a little bit more of this. All right, we read this already, but we'll read it again. As Dr. Gigi Quick-Grovenall writes for the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Response to Terrorism, or more affectionately known as START, diseases which have been extinct for many years may be resurrected by bioterrorists using mail-order DNA kits with openly published sequence data as their guide. Among these, smallpox, declared to be eradicated by the World Health Organization in 1980, could be reintroduced using the 1994 gene map, which was prepared to better understand why the disease was so deadly. And at the time, they could not have predicted how dangerous the consequences could have been. The dual-use problem has been the focus of many reports and studies. there have been attempts to narrow the area of potential security concern in order to provide oversight. The U.S. government has defined a new category of dual-use research of concern as life sciences research that, based on current understanding, can be reasonably anticipated to provide knowledge, information, products, or technologies that could directly be misapplied to pose a significant threat with broad potential consequences to public health and safety, agricultural crops and other plants, animals, the environment, material, or national security, unquote. Wow. Now, life science research that... I mean, that whole statement there, this dual-use research of concern definition, could be applied to many, many, many things. And guess what, American public? You're too stupid to understand any of this scientific research anyway. So any of these things, such as vaccinations or GMO or RNAi, you don't need to understand the details. We shouldn't have to make available to you any of that complicated information that might make your brain hurt, people. It's all under the guise of national security. Don't worry about it because we know best. A 2010 World Health Organization WHO report also referred to the threat of smallpox reintroduction, noting that the DURC, the Dual Use Research of Concern Advances, would, quote, render substantial portions of the smallpox virus accessible to anyone with an internet connection and access to a DNA synthesizer, unquote. Again, that pesky damn internet is not only allowing lone wolves to be radicalized and teenagers to want to go fight with ISIS or become ISIS brides out of Minnesota or Texas or wherever the newest state is that we supposedly have these teenagers that want to become part of an ISIS harem. But it also could make a bioterrorist out of you. We need to get rid of the internet. And that's coming. This whole security thing, and actually, they're really spinning this up. They want to try and clamp down also on public and private companies and draw them into the government web of security. And there was another story in this publication that was bashing executive security professionals because many of them aren't taking this security concern very seriously. And the way they worded it in this story was just so obvious that they're like, oh, all of our targeted, it almost sounded like they said all of our targeted hacks against Target and JPMorgan Chase hasn't scared them enough to want to jump on the security lockdown bandwagon and drop their pants for the feds to get into their backend systems too. And this is so, all of this is so damn orchestrated. It's like the veil has been lifted. And there are some of us that totally 100% freaking see it. And the rest of the people are just bumping into walls. Fluoride has done its job, as has the propaganda. These synthesis technologies are also becoming cheaper and more available, increasing the danger. Dun, dun, dun. Should this happen, there will be few under the age of 45 who have been vaccinated against the disease, leaving many with no immunity. By the way, I was vaccinated for smallpox. When I was a child, I went to a foreign country, and even though they didn't give it out anymore, I had to get it because I was leaving the country for a visit. But many people didn't. If you read some of the horrifying side effects that you could get from the smallpox vaccination, it was a pretty scary thing. So thank God they didn't have that anymore for the general populace. But who knows? Smallpox might be the next thing they roll out of the unsecured filing cabinet at the CDC to start injecting us with. So many of us have no immunity to smallpox. It's very disfiguring, by the way. Grovenall notes that some nations, including the United States, do not retain sufficient supplies of smallpox vaccine to limit the spread. Oh, wait, wait. Back up. I read that wrong. Grovenall notes that some nations, including the United States, do retain sufficient supplies of smallpox vaccine to limit the spread. So there you go. Ding, 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 ding. But most do not, leaving billions of people vulnerable. Line up for your smallpox vaccine at Rite Aid. Above all else, though, the lack of predictability in technology makes identifying any technologies difficult to the point that it may be impossible. As smallpox sequence examples demonstrate, technology advances cannot be reliably predicted, so estimates could lead to false conclusions about how dual use or dangerous the publication of a particular piece of research would be. So what are we going to have now? A committee board of people that are going to decide whether or not anything that goes on the internet is dangerous or not? Is that going to be a new division under this new FCC regulation of the internet? Possibly. Is the website you want to put up going to be dangerous? And will it be able to self-radicalize teenagers? Well, maybe you're going to have to give us a proposal before you buy that domain name. I mean, do you guys see how dangerous this slope is? And we are getting ready. They've just greased that slope up with bacon grease, man. And they're getting ready to not only heat it up, but they are tipping that pan. And the fire down below is pretty hot. Dealing with the problem then may have to rely on a wait-and-see approach. With, what is it? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Vaccine production. The only sure preventative measure governments can take. Oh, that is the money shot. The likelihood of smallpox's reintroduction to nature is unknown and perhaps unknowable. While the positive contributions of the sequencing of the smallpox virus and subsequent research are immense and measurable. And that is the end of the story. So what is the key phrase here? Wait, we got to go back. Vaccine production, the only sure preventative measure that governments can take against bioterror. All right, here, I'm going to drop this one into chat. We're going to do a couple stories off of this website, but definitely bookmark that one, HomelandSecurityNewsWire.com, if you want to see what these jerk-offs are working on behind closed doors. Here we go now, right on the tails of four vetoes for Homeland Security funding that's up in front of Congress right now. And one of the reasons is because Obama is trying to attach this immigration bill to the funding for DHS. But I think we should put that up in front of the people, and we should be seeing line item by line item what they're looking for budgeting for. Because is that black ops, Guantanamo-esque facility that's been now exposed in Chicago that they've been torturing people in? Is that part of Homeland Security? Are we fucking paying for that? Is Rahm Emanuel aware of that facility? And I dug up some interesting information about that as well. We'll take a look at that. There was a good story on anti-media yesterday, and I started digging a little bit deeper, and I even found some more information. But here's another story that really caught my attention right after I got off the air yesterday. I mean, we've watched them try to demonize anyone with views in this country that even don't even have to be extremists. Just calling bullshit on anything apparently now makes you a terrorist. If you remember back a few years ago, and we're talking 3 or 4 years ago, you know, looking nervous or looking at your watch or sweating while you were in an airport made you a potential terrorist. Well, apparently during one of their Homeland Security meetings that they had just recently, and I caught a couple videos on it, anything that the mainstream news showed that they were talking about ISIS, of course, and trying to make us afraid. And I'm not going to say that ISIS isn't a threat. ISIS was created by us, just like the Mujahideen and Al-Qaeda and all the others, but we've set them loose now. They are absolutely like a pathogen spreading, and we've let them go. We've radicalized them. We've pissed them right the fuck off, torturing them in prisons. And then, whoops, all the prisons across the Middle East happen to have a prison break. They all get loose. They all hit Libya. They all grab our guns that we were shipping through there, run off to Turkey and Jordan. One of the things that I saw yesterday, too, my daughter is really interested in understanding robots. DARPA and drones now, and I didn't do anything. I swear I didn't. She actually finds robots very interesting, but she started asking me, what's DARPA? And last night we were hitting YouTube and she wanted to watch Big Dog and Spot and all these other crazy things. And she's like, wow, Mom, those aren't too good, are they? They're kind of scary. And I was like, yeah, a little bit. She's like, wow, look at all those marching together. There were all these like drones that were these toy drones all zooming down the street zzz, with cameras on them. And I was like, yeah, pretty scary, especially when there's like 1,000 of them all coming up a street. But we were watching this one, and it was like the some sort of international security conference that was going on a few months ago. And it was all this killer drone tech from all these different countries. And it was the big one. Trying to think of what publication it was that went there. It was like Wired or Vice, which, you know, those guys are all in bed with the government. They all are publishing information that puts it out there, but puts it on the side of, oh, look how good it is to protect us all. But what got me was not that this rinky-dink little American tech publication was flying over to Jordan. But that, how in Jordan, which is one of the countries that has been very complicit in a lot of what is now exploded in the Middle East with these crazies running all over, is that Jordan, I mean, they're in the middle of all it. And isn't Jordan where a couple of the masterminds of, who were they? Were they out of Guantanamo? A couple of the masterminds. The guys that we let out of Guantanamo, didn't we put them on like quote unquote house arrest in Jordan? I don't know. There's lots of sticky stuff. We should get Brandon on. He had a snow day yesterday, but he didn't know it until after he got almost all the way to work. But we should have had him on yesterday because I'd like to talk about a little bit of that stuff. Get an update from my perspective as to what's going on. But anyway. So, yes, Jordan is where they hold one of the biggest global tech conferences. And as they were interviewing all these guys at the booths, every single one of these companies are now selling killer type drones, even in small packages. And they're like all giddy over it, like how freaking great it is. So, all right, let's get to the story. So there was this conference from Homeland Security a few days ago, and anything that the mainstream media had showed was typically dealing with ISIS. But this story says something a little bit different. DHS intelligence assessment highlights threat posed by sovereign citizen groups. Here it comes again. U.S. security officials have long considered sovereign citizen groups as a growing threat to domestic security. In a 2014 survey of state and local law enforcement agencies, leaders of these agencies listed members of sovereign citizen groups as the top domestic terror threat ahead of foreign Islamist or domestic militia groups. The U.S. government has primarily focused its counterterrorism efforts on the threat posed by foreign extremist groups, including the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, but the problem posed by domestic would-be terrorists has not been overlooked. A new DHS intelligence assessment released earlier this month focuses on the domestic terror threat from sovereign citizen extremists. The U.S. government They like repeat themselves here, so I'm trying to find where they continue on. Yeah, 2014, blah, blah, blah. A year before the study, which was from August of 2014, a man who held anti-government views was shot. Shot three Transportation Safety Administration employees at Los Angeles International Airport, killing one officer. Remember that? That was last year. The U.S. government is primarily focused on Al-Qaeda. But CNN reports that a new DHS intelligence assessment released earlier this month focuses on domestic terror threats from right-wing sovereign citizen extremists. That report attributes at least 24 violent attacks since 2010 to sovereign citizen groups. CNN notes, and actually it says there's a report. Let's see. I'll look when I'm done here. CNN notes that there are extremists that believe that they can ignore laws and regulations and that their individual rights are under attack in a daily routine instance, such as traffic stops or being required to obey a court order. Now, one second. Because I am not a sovereign citizen. I am not an extremist. I am just a mother who reads the news, who is looking at people's rights being violated on a daily basis. Hey, as a matter of fact, on CNN and NBC and CBS and RT and Press TV, I'm watching cops beat the living fuck out of people who did nothing, killing them many times, strangling them, shooting their dogs, point blank range, 80-year-olds, grandmas, kicking in doors. How is that not a violation of anyone's rights? I just can't even get over how they spin this shit. In its assessment, the DHS predicts that sovereign citizen violence during 2015 will occur most frequently during routine law enforcement encounters at a suspect's home, during enforcement stops, and at government offices. So when they kick your door in at 4 a.m., unannounced, at the wrong house, or climb in your bedroom window with guns drawn because they saw a footprint on a bucket in your backyard and decided they were coming to investigate unannounced, aiming a gun in your face, and you protect yourself thinking it's an intruder, you apparently are a sovereign citizen. In 2012, a father and son were accused of engaging in a shootout with police in Louisiana after a confrontation that began when an officer pulled them over for a traffic violation. Two officers were killed and several others wounded in that incident. The father and son were sovereign citizen extremists who claimed that police had no authority over them. Quote, law enforcement officers will remain a primary target of sovereign citizen violence over the next year due to their role in physically enforcing laws and regulations, added DHS intelligence assessment. No, you know why cops are the target? Because they have been breaking the law for a very long time. And then when it comes to trying to indict those fuckers, they get off. Because they butt pat each other and cover up corruption. If you historically go and look through all of the different investigative reports of the deep corruption, and it's not just in the police department, it's in the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and all the other alphabet agencies, there's long historical value to that. People are calling bullshit. And they want to maintain their power because people are calling bullshit. Groups like Cop Block that encourage anyone at a traffic stop with a camera to start filming or with a smartphone to start filming. That's what they're talking about. I will guarantee you very shortly that filming will no longer be legal because they'll say that it threatens their safety. The threat of domestic terrorism posed by sovereign citizens, armed militias, and other anti-government groups was barely mentioned in last week's White House conference on violent extremism. The conference dealt exclusively with the threat posed by jihadist Islamist groups. Administration officials say, though, that U.S. security and law enforcement agencies focus on the threat from all terrorists, regardless of their ideological leanings. The Justice Department, yes, the one that was led by criminal Attorney General Eric Holder, which is leading the Obama administration's counter-radicalization efforts against Islamist extremism, says many of the methods and tactics aimed at stopping recruitment of young people for jihad can also be used to fight anti-government extremist groups. And it says, see, quote, lone wolf, domestic terrorism on the rise, Homeland Security Newswire, February 16th, 2015. And of course, now they got to roll out this idiot, Mark Potok. Oh, my God. Have you ever seen that guy's hair? I mean, what a joke. Every time I see Mark Potok and see him crying foul about some new bullshit, whatever, I'm a fucking victim, Mark Potok, I just roll my eyes and want to puke. Mark Potok, a senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Hey, what does Southern poverty have to do with fucking extremism? And Southern poverty, does he look like he's a Southern poverty person? Does Potok look like he represents anyone in the South that's in poverty? Because I don't think so. Every time I see this dude, I just want to puke, literally. He's just such a bag of assholes. Mark Potok, a senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center, says there could be as many as, oh my God, 300,000 people in the United States involved in some form of sovereign citizen-inspired activity. But what, the whole alternative media consortium? He hates alternative media. But that only about 100,000 of them form the hardcore of the movement. Potok notes that just as many young Muslims join radical groups because of poor economic circumstances. Sovereign citizen groups have attracted support for the same reason. Some sovereign citizen groups, for example, travel the country pitching their ideologies as a way to help homeowners, for example, escape foreclosure or debts by simply ignoring courts and bankruptcy laws. What? You mean a lot of those illegal foreclosures that happen by the big banks? You mean the predatory lending that happened that gave multi-hundred-thousand-dollar mortgages to people who didn't have the credit and then put them on ARMs, and then when the ARM was over and they had to pay the real payment and went into foreclosure, they cried that they were the victims? The banks were? Oh, this is just so dirty. And all these stupid people that drank too much freaking fluoride and watched too much TV believe every single word of it because they don't know how to do any type of investigative research at all. Believe it because you're told it. Don't ask any questions. Be a good little citizen. Put on your armband and shut up. CNN notes that in 2009, a DHS report on possible recruitment by right-wing militia groups of military veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan prompted an outcry from some veteran groups. Yes, they tried to demonize and still are trying to demonize all the veterans because they trained them. And then when they came back, they found out that they were duped. And as a matter of fact, not only were they duped, they were being used for experimentation. And oh, by the way, they were put on death lists by the VA joke of a healthcare system. GOP politicians charged that the Obama administration was motivated by politics in preparing the report. The report, however, was researched and produced by DHS staff during the Bush administration. Oh, well, that should make us feel warm and fuzzy. And its review process was not completed until the Obama administration took office. So there you go. Let's take a look at the CNN report about DHS intelligence warns of domestic right-wing terror threats. Oh, look, there's even a video. So it's moving real slow, but maybe. I don't know if I'm going to be able to rewind this. Maybe I can reload. Hold on. There's actually all kinds of stories, I mean, but we might have to skip this one. Yeah, there's been all kinds of weird shit happening on the network, by the way, since last night. So if you're having any type of technical issues listening to archives or getting to the website or dialing in and getting Skype to answer, just know, again, nothing happened. It just started happening out of the blue for no reason last night. We might have to skip this. Yeah, I can't even get the webpage here to, I can't scroll. I can't do anything. So skip it, whatever. So let's drop that one into chat as well. That just, when I see that shit, so what? You're not even allowed to open your mouth and call bullshit on any of the bullshit. Because if you call bullshit on any of the bullshit, all of a sudden you must be the enemy. No, we're not the enemy. We're the people, one of the few people left in this country that are seeing the last vestiges of the country we used to think we had. The country that's almost gone and the country that's being destroyed quietly in the background. They have robbed us blind. The back doors are open. The fixtures are now ripped off the walls. And now they're sweeping the floors for any leftover scraps. That's it. It's over. They've done it. And this last push now to start forcing medical experiments. I mean, that's pretty much what forced vaccination is. They're going to force medical experiments on you and your children. All right. So if it didn't get any worse, the FDA, with all the exposed corruption, here we go. Obama, this is yesterday, proposes a single federal agency to monitor and enforce food safety standards. Wow, why? Because it'll be a hell of a lot easier to push through nanotech and GMO and vaccines without us questioning or knowing anything that's in there. It'll be a hell of a lot easier for them to ship in food from China or the Philippines or Indonesia or Japan that are all fucking contaminated without anyone saying anything, because now you got them all in your palm when it's just one agency, much easier to control. Some 87 million Americans are, I love the way they spin this, are sickened each year by food contamination. 371,000 are hospitalized with food-related illnesses. And 5,700 people die from food-related disease. The country food safety system is at high risk because of, quote, inconsistent oversight, ineffective coordination, and inefficient use of resources. At least 15 different government agencies have had a role in approving foods Americans eat, while the White House is now proposing to have a single agency, the Food Safety Administration, that will be housed where? Within Health and Human Services, to provide focused central leadership, quote, a primary voice on food safety standards and compliance within those standards. And remember, too, they're going after our supplements as well. And again, the words of Dr. Huber, glyphosate is chelating. It allows nutrients to be chelated out of the body. So you can eat all you want, but you're not getting the nutrients. The food and agriculture sector, along with government employees tasked with ensuring the food safety of foods Americans eat, are debating the White House's new proposal for a single organization to oversee food safety inspections. I have to say, the USDA is calling bullshit on this, which I'm happy about. The New York Times explains that before a package of, let's say, frozen pizza is sold, the meats on the pizza would have to be examined by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the USDA, and the cheese and tomato sauce examined by the Food and Drug Administration, each agency relying on its own methods of inspection and testing. If a customer gets ill from eating the pizza, then the U.S. Center for Disease Control, the CDC, might notify the public, but it would be left to the FDA to pressure the pizza maker to issue a recall. Obama's proposal would place all food safety inspection responsibilities on the Food Safety Administration, an agency housed within the Department of Health and Human Services, the HHS, to, quote, provide focused, centralized leadership, a primary voice on voice safety standards and compliance with those standards, unquote, the administration wrote in its new budget request. The Government Accountability Office reports that at least 15 agencies, from the Environmental Protection Agency to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, have some role in approving the foods that Americans eat. Obama wants to untangle the web that forms when different agencies' responsibilities overlap, but his proposal has already faced some opposition. Quote, I'm afraid what we could see is what happened at the Department of Homeland Security when it was created, and they tried to fit a bunch of different agencies with different missions under one roof, said Tony Corbo, a lobbyist for the advocacy group Food and Water Watch. Doug Powell, a former professor of food safety at where? Kansas State University, yes, the home of all the virulent material for the time being from Plum Island. But this dude actually sounds like he knows what he's talking about. He's a former professor of food safety and the publisher of barfblog.com, believes that Obama's proposal might ultimately provide less food protection. And yes, that is what they're up for. That's the plan. Quote, the research does not support the idea that a single agency would protect food safety any more than the system the U.S. currently has in place, Powell said. Look at the United Kingdom and the big horse meat scandal, or Canada, which had a massive beef recall a few years ago. Both of those countries have a single food safety agency, and it did not stop contaminated products from reaching the public. Supporters of Obama's proposal insist that America's food safety system needs an overhaul. According to the CDC, yeah, we should trust them too, roughly 87 million Americans, 87 million are sickened each year by food contamination. 371,000 are hospitalized, 5,700 die from food-related diseases. The Government Accountability Office adds that the country's food safety system is at quote-unquote high risk because of inconsistent oversight, ineffective coordination, and inefficient use of resources. I want to go down to where the USDA is calling bullshit here. Currently, the FDA has oversight for roughly 80% of the foods that Americans eat, including seafood, vegetables, fruit, dairy products, and shelled eggs. The USDA, however, oversees meat, poultry, and processed eggs. Both agencies perform their inspection duties differently. The USDA inspectors must be present during all meat and poultry plant food operations. In contrast, because of the large volume and wide range of foods they must inspect, FDA inspectors visit plants less frequently, often only when a problem has been cited. So that means none of our seafood, vegetables, fruit, dairy products, or shelled eggs are being looked at except when bunches of people get sick. Some USDA food safety inspectors see the FDA's inspection process as less rigorous than theirs, worrying that consolidating inspection functions would weaken the USDA standards. Quote, This would drag us down to their minuscule standards, unquote, says Stan Painter, a USDA food safety inspector in Alabama who is president of the inspectors union. He says they don't do inspections. They run in for a visit, unquote. So there you go. And I'm telling you, this is to lock down on what information is going to be available to us as to what is in our food and whether or not that information is going to be made available to us. If we get rid of all these different eyes and make it one agency where we can control it, it'll make it much easier to do things like spread glyphosate everywhere and say that it's safe and not say that our food has toxins in it. Now let's see if I can find that clippy by Dr. Huber. Tomorrow I think we're going to get back into DARPA and brain stuff because I had a whole bunch of stuff I wanted to look at. All right, here we go. Let me connect up my Skype. If that works today. All right, looks like it did. Here, this is Dr. Huber talking about glyphosate in the honeybees and the colony collapse disorder. And like we've heard already, there are some major things that Dr. Huber had discovered about the uptake of nutrients from glyphosate sprayed crops. I've been saying for a long time I did not believe that it was those nicotinid pesticides, that it had to be something that Monsanto was doing with their glyphosate, and Dr. Huber now discovered what it was. And it totally makes sense. I mean, if you understand what's going on with colony collapse, here we go. Maybe.
We've lost about 50% of the honeybee in the world. There are three characteristics that you see with colony collapse disorder. You see a malnutrition of the bees, especially with micronutrient malnutrition. You see a malnutrition in spite of having plenty of honey and bee bread and the resource in the hive, and yet the bees are malnourished. And the third characteristic there is disorientation, and so that the bees leave the hive, they're malnourished, they're under stress, and then fail to return to the hive. But if we look at all three of those characteristics of colony collapse disorder, we see that the most widely used herbicide in the world, probably the most abused herbicide or chemical that we've ever had in agriculture, glyphosate has an impact on all three of them. To start with, it's a very strong mineral chelator for essential minerals.
In this case, the chelation that's done by Roundup, or glyphosate, its active ingredient, it grabs onto important minerals, and it makes them unavailable for assimilation. So you may have copper, you may have selenium, you may have manganese in the system, but you can't use it.
All of those minerals that regulate our physiological processes that are critical for proper health and functioning and growth, that are all reduced in availability for the bee. There's another factor that's involved from a health standpoint with the bee and also with digestion. Glyphosate is also a very potent antibiotic. Most of the beneficial organisms that we rely on and that the bee rely on, such as the lactobacillus and the bifidobacteria, are very sensitive to glyphosate. In the absence of those two bacteria in the honey crop or the bee stomach, the bee can't digest the food. It can have plenty of food there, and this is what we see with colony collapse disorder. You see plenty of honey, plenty of bee bread there, but they don't have the bacteria there so that they can digest it, so that they're essentially starving in the middle of food. I know Falk did a study about 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, just putting a little glyphosate in the water for the bees, and had about a 34% mortality from them. So,
what do you know how much was put into the water?
They were the rates that were common for the area that she set this study up in.
That is amazing, because we know that glyphosate is in the air and the water. If she set up the amount of parts per million in relationship to what's there in an ambient basis, especially in the Midwest where they use all this stuff a lot, and there was a 34% death rate, then that's pretty, I mean, is that a smoking gun? Can we call that a smoking gun?
Well, certainly a red flag that why aren't we doing the research?
It's a smoking red flag. It's a smoking red flag. Okay, we'll go there. I was very interested in the fact that Monsanto purchased a company called Biologics, where they were studying colony collapse disorder. And why would Monsanto take over this research company that might figure out what the cause of colony collapse disorder is? And now we're bringing in this new theory, which a lot of people believe that colony collapse disorder comes from a nicotine-based insecticide that's used as a seed treatment. They're called neonicotinoids. And you end up basically creating a time-release system in the seeds that produce this insecticide for the first few weeks of the crop. And this is known to create disorientation of bees. They can't find their ways back to the hive. They've banned these neonicotinoids in certain countries in Europe. They're trying to ban them in the United States. So, Don, would the neonicotinoids, or could they explain colony collapse disorder completely? Or are there anything that's missing that we need to look at something else?
Well, they don't explain why the bee isn't able to digest the honey and the bee bread and that's in the hive, why it's starving to death, or why it's micronutrient deficient. The only explanation that I know of, at least, that really fits the picture and in that whole area.
And there you go. At the very end of that, he says it's Monsanto and glyphosate. And guys, we heard that this now, he's talking about this is happening across the food chain. It's happening in the crops, in the animals, in the bees, and in the people. Keep up with this. I'm going to drop this in chat. Make sure you guys stick around. It is Wednesday. Continuing tradition. The guys at 8, Truth or Talk at 9, and Intermediate 11.